welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amla Ebenobi, and Taylor is in the house.
Yeah, I am.
You know what? It's a good day to not be an A-list celebrity. That's what I am saying today. We have so many of them in the news, some of them with hot takes, real hot as in hot garbage, talking about Roe versus Wade. We got Dave Chappelle being attacked on stage during his comedy set at the Hollywood Bowl. Horrifying. Do we know why? We'll talk about it. We have host of The View speculating on Dave Chappelle's attack, also talking about Roe versus Wade in a way that is just unbelievable. We'll get there. And Ray J and Kim K. We love the little letters at the end of the name, are back in the news as well. And we thought about whether or not we were going to talk about why, but we're going to talk about it. We'll discuss it. I think there's some underlying issues that we can talk about. We can talk about culture, pop culture, where we are as a society as we go through this news with Kim K and Ray J.
Fearless and unapologetic with the things that we cover on this show.
Yes, exactly. Bold and brave. Stunningly brave. With the things that we cover on this show. First, let's talk about Dave Chappelle. Now, he's no stranger to being in the news. He came out with a comedy special. And in that comedy special, he made jokes about transgender individuals. And guess what? People did not like it. That comedy special went out on Netflix. And there was subsequent protests at the Netflix headquarters. People coming for Dave Chappelle's neck. They wanted him in the guillotine for the jokes that he made. And they might have seen that come out to play when he got attacked yesterday. Because apparently, a 23-year-old, I believe homeless man, came and assaulted Dave Chappelle while he was on stage at the Hollywood Bowl. He rushed him, tackled him, and had on him a replica gun with a knife inside of the structure somehow.
And then a lighter inside of the knife. I was gonna say, what type of
Inspector Gadget type stuff do we have going on?
Yeah.
Really weird. A replica gun with a knife inside it. Who knows what his intent was with this? Was he clout chasing? I have no idea. Apparently, he's a up and coming. No, he's not up and coming. He's a rapper by the name of Isaiah Lee, who had a rap song titled Dave Chappelle, another one called Trump's Phone. And apparently they don't know yet what the motive is. I'm sure there's going to be an investigation into this. He is under arrest because after tackling Dave Chappelle on stage, who came to his defense? Busta Rhymes, Jamie Foxx, and Chris Rock. What a star-studded lineup to come and kick the ass of somebody who tried to kill you.
Yeah, who do you want protecting you? I mean, just the boys? It's like, that's quite the squad.
Right, that is quite the squad. And, well, we have a video of some of this happening. Here's a quick video for those of you watching. Everybody rushes on stage.
Was that Will Smith?
And Chris Rock comes up, grabs the mic, and says, "Was that Will Smith?"
Such a champ.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty quick to have this stuff ready, but I mean, I guess it's very fresh on his mind. So
It is. I think that moment in time will be burned into the brain of Chris Rock for the rest of his life, unfortunately.
Yeah, my face stings a little bit just thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with comedians getting bum rushed these days. What does it mean about the state of the world that we just have so much violence happening around us and in our lives virtually all the time, it seems now? Now, I think acts of violence are technically trending down, I want to say, in our society.
That's probably true.
Yeah, but it just seems like we have so much exposure to it. It's so salacious. And maybe it's because it's seeping into what we deem to be the elites, these celebrities, these A-listers. It's happening live at the Oscars. It's happening at the Hollywood Bowl while a comedian's performing. Really weird stuff. I mean, it's really unfortunate to be somebody who's just exercising your craft and your art and to worry about somebody taking your life. Would I get better security if I was Dave Chappelle? Maybe.
Yeah, or the Hollywood Bowl or Netflix or whoever was putting this thing on.
Right,
yeah, probably.
Right. I'm sure there's a lawsuit out there.
But speech is considered violence these days, so right. You know, there's probably somebody out there who would argue that this is just fighting violence with violence.
That is true. Speech is considered violence. Silence is also violence. So really the entire world, our entire culture is inherently violent in everything that we do. So what a weird world we're living in. Again, they don't have motive on this. Clearly there is some attachment between this 23-year-old man and Dave Chappelle being the victim in this case because he wrote those rap songs about it. But many are willing to speculate on why somebody would do such a thing, including the brilliant hosts over at The View. We can always count on them for well thought out, intellectual discussions on why these things are happening. And while nobody else knows the motive around this, they know. And here's a video of them talking about exactly that. And I believe Whoopi Goldberg is going to be the one who leads the way on this one.
What do you think is happening? I mean, it's happening on airplanes. It's happening on street corners. People are just running. I mean, the Hollywood bubble. I mean, just ran up on there.
Things that could contribute to what's going on. The pandemic, the opioid crisis, the fact that Trump was out there saying things like, just knock the hell out of them. I promise you I'll pay for the legal fees.
No, Joy Behar came and took the front runner on that one. Oh, my goodness.
I love how she had to like look down and check her notes. Like, how was I going to fold Trump back into this? Then how did I plan before the show that I was going to blame this on him?
In our 8 a.m. meeting, how did I let the orange man bad syndrome get in there? I know I wrote something down.
Yeah, she got to the point and had to go look back and reference the notes of how to reframe the whole thing as being about Trump and how the right is responsible for this crazy man attacking Dave Chappelle.
It's unbelievable to me. You know, you see things like this and you really can see that this man, Donald J. Trump, is living in everybody's head rent-free. He should be paying for the space that he takes up in everybody's brains right now. Even years after he's departed from the White House, he can still be blamed for a 23-year-old allegedly homeless man attacking a comedian in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Bowl. It's still the orange man's fault.
Yeah, it's like he's been out of office for like almost 2 years now, guys. He said, we haven't gotten to the quote that they quote from him, but it was something that was said 5 years ago. And it's like, we watched Will Smith walk up on stage and slap a comedian like 2 weeks ago. Or, you know, I guess that was 2 weeks ago.
Right, and just about.
Yeah, but that's not the example that comes to mind. It's something random Donald Trump said 5 years ago.
Right, a direct example of a comedian getting tackled on stage and then Will Smith slapping another comedian weeks prior. But that's not the example that you use to talk about violence. A incident, that Chris Rock slap that aired in every single home in America. But that's not something that you use as reference. It has to be Mr. Trump. Now, unfortunately, there's more to this video, so let's continue watching.
When he had a heckler. Yeah. I mean, there are many factors involved here, but, and then Will Smith was like the pièce de résistance, as it were. But by the way, don't you love comedians? Look at how they handled it. It was great. Give that boy.
Okay, good. This is not a political thing. Come on. I know you want to wrap it all into politics, but this is really about security. Like, I don't understand that.
Why? It didn't happen before. It's happening.
Will Smith wasn't particularly right-leaning and running up on the stage and smacking Chris Rock. No.
There we go. Thank you for somebody saying it. It is not, it's not particularly political, Joy. You have no idea. It's the confidence for me, as they always say, that this woman can look at an incident where, which could possibly be just this 23-year-old deranged man or a clout chaser or somebody who hates Dave Chappelle for things that he said. It could be a number of reasons for going up and trying to attack somebody, and who even knows if it's going to be attempted murder or whatever we're going to call this, but there could be so many reasons, and you know none of them, but you so confidently in your show that has aired in hundreds of thousands of households say you know exactly why this is happening, and it's because of Donald J. Trump, and it's because of the Republicans, and we can make this into a partisan debate, an incident that happened on a comedian's show. It's so crazy to me, and it shows you how her brain works. Her brain works it's like I've heard a negative story. How can I attach this to the people I don't like? I see something bad happen. How can I attach this to people that I disagree with and make them look bad? And what is more concerning than the words from Joy Behar is the reaction from the audience of like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You made such a good point there when you talked about the man who was president 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's just the same thing as like on the late night shows. It's just clapter. It's, let's get the people in here who want to just clap for insults against the people that we don't like. And then it doesn't matter what happens today. We're just going to springboard off of whatever is happening in the world and frame it in a way that it's the fault of the people that we don't like, and we'll insult them. And then we'll all be like, yay, isn't this great that it's all the people we don't like's fault? And it's not about the merits of any of it, the discussion at hand. It's just about crapping on our enemies.
Right. And it's like, we could do the same thing in this situation, but we don't choose to. We could hop up here and go, well, the guy probably attacked him because he hated the jokes that he made in his comedy special, and he's all about cancel culture, and the ultimate form of cancel culture is going and attacking somebody and attempting to murder them. But no, we're not going to make that argument. Why? Because we do not know. We do not have the facts around the situation. And there is an epidemic in this country of people just saying things when they don't know. They don't know. And instead of just going, this is crazy, here's the footage, here's the clip, what stand-up guys for taking such a dangerous situation so lightly and being able to continue the show and make jokes about it. Good for them, good for them. But instead, no, we have to speculate, not even speculate, just make an outright assumption about what's going on here in order to promote a certain agenda. And anybody who does that in a position like that, you should not listen to. Because their confidence and their ego is most likely getting in the way of what is true and what is honest. And that's not what you want. You want somebody who's going to hop up there and go, hey, guys, I just want to let you know that this happened. Here's the footage or whatever. We don't have the motive behind this. The guy's in the hospital now, or he's in custody and he's on bail or whatever. But we'll let you know when we do find out, and then we'll talk about it. That's how that should have been handled. But instead, we have to play back and forth and create this argument about politics because somebody decided to use their audacity and their gall to say something that isn't true.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, why can't we just hold people accountable for their actions instead of having to loop in some other bigger narrative and attach to it? Like, this person, probably a crazy person, possibly homeless, possibly on drugs, who knows? Like his homeless point, we don't know.
Yep.
But a person tried to assault Dave Chappelle, and he should be held responsible for his actions, and we should hold him responsible. You don't have to attach all these other people you don't like and try to blame the system, or blame Republicans, or blame Donald Trump, or blame the right for creating these conditions that led to the... You don't know. You're just like trying to manufacture this narrative to politicize something. And it's like, let's just deal in facts and talk about the situation at hand, and hold individuals responsible for the mistakes that they make and for their missteps. But that's not what our culture wants to do. We want to make it all about the system's fault or the circumstances' fault, and not about just holding individuals responsible for what they've done.
It's got to be salacious and it's got to be political, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what we do. And guess what? There's more. If you call now, you can watch more ridiculous takes from The View. Here's the rest of the clip.
Yeah, but I do think that Trump unleashed some incivility, at least, in our country.
And you don't know anything about this person that went up there.
No, but wait a second. You don't notice that there's a certain amount of impulse control lacking in the population
these days?
And
a lot of studies said that was in particular in regards to people being locked down inside, not in particular being locked down inside and staring at
people.
Well,
Trump really, he made the pandemic into like a cold. Remember?
I think
he handled it so poorly.
We forgot how to laugh. Like, we became a country that, and not just a country, maybe a world, but I feel it most here, that is so reactive and waiting to be offended by every single thing we look around at. My parents constantly told me, sweetie, it's not always about you. Settle the, and so there was a perspective there.
Good.
And I think we've lost it. I think we've lost it because to me, comedy has always been the salve to life's condition of suffering. Anytime you go, and the thing you do when you walk into a room to watch a comic is you let them do their thing. The best comics will test the envelope and cross the line to be the best comedian they can be. So you go in knowing there's going to be a couple jokes where you're like, oh, maybe a step too far.
Let it go.
That's it. That's it. You just enjoy the rest of the show.
Also, really quickly, cancel culture really came from the left, though. So if that's the argument that Joy's trying to have.
And that's specific. I'm talking about a lack of impulse control in the society right now.
I just think people are rude.
It's a security issue, though.
People are rude. People are just rude, and we don't know about this kid, so we don't know. Yeah. We don't know why he did what he did. So let's move on from the conversation.
Who stormed the...
That's how the whole thing should have gone from the outset. This clip that's 2 minutes and 30 seconds long should have been 25 seconds long. Dave Chappelle got attacked. We don't know why. See you after the commercial break. Literally, that's all that it should have been. But instead, when you try to inject this politicized narrative into things, this is where the things go awry. But I do want to talk about some of the underlying conversations that sort of got snuck in there. If you want to blame somebody for an increase in incivility, one of the points was made that, maybe you filled people full of fear and they had to stay home for 2 years, not all of us, some of us led our normal lives and we were like, we're not going to do that. I'm going to lead the life I was leading before. And if I get sick, so be it. It comes with life. But a lot of people held onto this fear and just stayed in and was just completely isolated themselves from the world. What do you think that does for aggression? What do you think that does for civility, especially when we've politicized every single thing that we talk about? And we now view people as just, you're on my side or you're not on my side, and you're vaccinated or you're unvaccinated, or, comedy is free range and you can joke about whatever you want, or you can't joke about anything at all. We are so just back and forth, and you represent one side or you represent nothing. And it's just unbelievable. So I can imagine how, incivility probably does brew in a society that holds that as its standard. And unfortunately, that is the current standard in this society. So there were some interesting points made in this discussion, but to really just dig in and try to blame somebody who is so far removed from this situation, virtually in any way that you could be removed, he's removed, and to blame him for that, it just shows you where your brain is at, where your integrity is, or lack thereof, and that you don't care about truth, and you don't care about true analysis, and you don't care about coming down to the bottom of things. Even with a small case like this, this is going to blow over in 2 days. Nobody's going to talk about it ever again. But we should talk about the underlying things that are exposing themselves in these conversations. Yeah. So this will not be the only bad take from The View today. We're going to watch more. So really, celebrities are freaking out. Their whole group is freaking out over this Roe v. Wade stuff, and we're going to get into some of their reactions. We're going to talk about Whoopi Goldberg, Anna Kasparian, Howard Stern, and we're going to go through a tab of just celebrities reacting to this on Twitter. First, I want to talk about what's happened in San Francisco. Apparently, a 22-year-old college student by the name of Mason Deschamps has climbed California's tallest tower dressed up as Spider-Man, to bring a pro-life message to those living in California. Now, he was subsequently arrested for doing this, and this is not the first time that he did this. He also did a climb in protest of the COVID restrictions and lockdowns here in California and was arrested for that as well. So he's becoming a seasoned activist climber, I guess. Now, when asked about this, he said, "It was so fun, and I'd do it again." And that the only time where he started to question or made a bad decision is by the time he was getting to the top, he was tired and needed water.
It's hard work. Somebody's got to do it.
I don't think somebody has to do this. I don't know exactly what this achieved. Apparently, he was asking to raise money for a charity, some sort of anti-abortion charity, in his endeavor doing this. So who knows how successful that was. It's very unclear how much money was raised. But apparently, he's going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law in San Francisco. And we all know how much the city of San Francisco loves laws. Decriminalizing shoplifting or allowing homeless people to just run amok in their city, doing drugs openly in the streets, leaving their needles strewn everywhere. Robberies, burglaries, assaults, rapes, all going unprosecuted. Criminals going unarrested, or when they are arrested, they go, how about we set bail at zero and we let you go on your way, right? I hear there's a fresh Target that they just built over there and nothing's under lock and key. So go have fun. We'll see you again in about 72 hours. That's how San Francisco treats crime. But this young man who climbed the tower and hurt nobody in the process, except making himself a little thirsty, is going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Yeah, the police were really stunned that they finally had something to do in San Francisco.
Right.
Because we have to stop pro-life Spider-Man from climbing a building.
Exactly.
They ran past a bunch of, open-air drug use and burglars, and they're like, "Guys, get out of the way. We're trying to stop pro-life Spider-Man."
The woman's like, "My purse, my purse." And they're like, "Ma'am, a 22-year-old boy is climbing that building over there. I gotta go tend to that." "But I'm pregnant." "Ma'am, we can't do anything about this. Also, that guy's black. How dare you? Let him take the purse, ma'am. That's what it's like in San Francisco. That's what it's like. But this 22-year-old boy who's whatever, I do think he should be arrested. He did break the law, okay? If you do something and you break the law, you should be arrested. And again, if he gets prosecuted to the fullest extent, by all means, prosecute him to the fullest extent. But do that to everybody else who commits crimes too, especially when they're more vicious crimes and there's victims involved with them, you know? Like the people who step on fentanyl needles because you're drug addicted, homeless, or using them in the streets and you're not doing anything about that, or the stores that get burglarized and all the companies that are having to move and leave and small businesses that are having to move and leave because people think that their products are free, apparently. You got that five-finger discount everywhere in San Francisco. So if, really, if you're listening, you need a new handbag, you need a new outfit, watch, Balenciagas, Louboutins, head on up to San Francisco and just snatch them, and you should be just fine. But God forbid you climb a building and deliver a message of pro-life activism. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
He's a menace.
He's a menace to society. We've never seen such a crime in San Francisco. Where's Batman? Where's our vigilante? Oh, my gosh. San Francisco literally is Gotham at this point. I've only seen one Batman movie, but I imagine that reference is accurate. I feel like it landed.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at a spammer on our channel.
Oh, fair enough. At least it boosts the algorithm.
He's a menace.
He's a menace to society. San Francisco PD should do something about that guy.
Jail.
Now, before we get into celebrity meltdowns regarding this Roe v. Wade news from yesterday and Kim and Ray J, I am going to say bye to everybody who's watching on Instagram and bye to people who are watching on PragerU's YouTube. Go and meet on my YouTube channel, Amala Pinobi, Unapologetic, and you can watch the live show there, see all the things that we're referencing. Bye, guys. Now, let's get into reactions around this. Let's give a recap, first of all. So Politico put out a leaked draft of an opinion put out by the Supreme Court. Well, not put out by the Supreme Court. It was meant to be under lock and key. Obviously, that didn't happen. And this opinion stated that they would be overturning Roe v. Wade. We still don't know who leaked this document out to the press and why it got to the streets. We put up the barricades around the Supreme Court, and then we wait and we wait and we wait, and maybe the riots happen, maybe the protests happen, we take the barricades down, and then the next news story hops into the cycle, and we move on to the next thing. We put the barricades back up and blah, blah, blah. Now, we did a whole episode about this, reviewing it, talking about what it really means, and what it really means is that If this happens, which who knows what's going to happen now, that there is mounting pressure on the Supreme Court justices to do what others believe that they should do. We'll see what happens in this case and if it actually gets overturned. But if it does, it means that states are going to be deciding whether or not they allow abortions, whether if they do, how regulated they are, or whether or not they want to ban abortions. So that's essentially what's going to happen. You'll have states that offer it, states that don't, and states that offer it, but only to a certain extent. Things like that. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. And in fact, you're getting more representation in them doing this. So people on both sides of this argument should be perfectly fine with everything that's happening. But no, we must lie, we must spin, we must completely morph our lies into this tangled web that is so built up you can't see through it. And that's where we're at now. So of course the celebrities, the A-listers, come out and on their high horses talk about what should be done in this case, because they know. And they know that you should defund the police in low-income communities, and they know that you should open the borders, and they know that you should be able to have an abortion at any point in your pregnancy, and they know everything. They know. So Howard Stern comes out. Here's his hot take. All the unwanted children should be allowed to live at the Supreme Court building with those justices, and they should raise every one of those babies. It's just not even trying. It's not even trying. I don't really have a response to this. You all know Howard Stern as being a raging leftist who also happens to be a comedian. Somehow that works out, but not very funny. The take was not funny, not very logical either. And he's been known to just hop on these hot button issues and give his little rants and cry about how people's rights are being taken away without making a valid argument. He doesn't speak to anything. And of course, throwing out that children should be allowed to live at the Supreme Court building. Okay, I get it. It's an emotional plea that you can put out and throw out to people, and they will listen and go, yes, absolutely, Howard Stern. I'm going to write that on my sign and go to the Supreme Court and stand outside of it and scream at them for a few hours. But can we really talk about the issue here? And I'm seeing a lot of people, which these videos we will get to, that have valid points mixed in with the things that they're screaming about, but they're just screaming like a banshee. A good example of this happening is Whoopi Goldberg going off on The View about exactly this. Now, see if through the yelling and screaming, you can figure out what her argument is, and we'll talk about the points that are valid in what she says.
But I will tell you, this is my body. And nobody, you got people telling me I gotta wear a mask or don't wear a mask or do this. Everybody wants to tell me what to do, but you won't let me make my decision about my body. You are not the person to make that decision. My doctor and myself and my child, that's who makes the decision. And one of the things I really want to point out before we go is the reason abortion came about. Women in this country lived forever with it being illegal, okay? Women, when they decide something is not right for them, they're going to take it into their own hands. Well, we got tired of tripping over women in bathrooms.
Okay. Did we cut out there?
Yeah, we lost your
visual. We are back, ladies and gentlemen.
Technical difficulties today. If you're watching on YouTube, I think our stream died on Amala's channel as well, but we're back. So thank you all for tuning back in. And now
happens
our
to
video
the best
cut
of us.
Happens.
Okay, we're going to cut back and go over this Whoopi Goldberg clip again, through the haze, the emotion. Let's see if we can get to her argument and discuss it a little bit. Here we go.
But I will tell you, this is my body. And nobody, you got people telling me I gotta wear a mask or don't wear a mask or do this. Everybody wants to tell me what.
Do you mean you, Whoopi Goldberg? Do you mean your show? Do you mean the network that you work for that told people that they wouldn't be hired if they weren't vaccinated and they wouldn't be allowed in if they didn't wear a mask and do all this and follow all these protocols? So who told you to do that during this whole COVID thing? That's now over and everybody's back to normal and nothing's happening. I want to remind everybody of that. So who did that? Because you seem to be a main perpetrator. Because I remember during this whole pandemic reacting to several videos from The View and specifically Whoopi Goldberg talking about these issues. So let's try not to shift blame and accuse other people for things that we've done.
What to do, but you won't let me make my decision about my body. You are not the person to make that decision. My doctor and myself and my child, that's who.
Moment of silence for that crazy thing she just said. It's my doctor, my body, and my child. Now, we don't have to get into the argument and talk about these issues, really, but does your child get to make a decision in that? Isn't that exactly what we're talking about here? Okay.
Who makes the decision? And one of the things I really want to point out before we go is the reason abortion came about. Women in this country lived forever with it being illegal, okay? Women, when they decide something is not right for them, they're going to take it into their own hands. Well, we got tired of tripping over women in bathrooms, public bathrooms, who were giving themselves abortions because there was nowhere safe, nowhere clean, nowhere to go. This law came about because people wanted people to have somewhere safe and somewhere clean. It has nothing to do with your religion. This is not a religious issue. This is a human issue. If you care about me as a human being, you should know three things. Getting an abortion is not easy. Making that decision is not easy. It's not something people do lightly. It's not something that you can just do. It is a hard, awful decision that people make. And if you don't have the wherewithal to understand that, to start this conversation with, I know how hard this must be for you. If you're starting it by telling me I'm going to burn in hell, then you're not looking.
First and foremost, calm down. it's not like somebody's going to come and steal the mic away from you while you're making this argument right now. And it's such a trend in this political theater that we're in right now to see something that you disagree with and just scream, scream. And we're going to get to Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks doing exactly that. Elizabeth Warren, i.e. Pocahontas, did the same thing as this news came out, coming out of her office in her white suit, making sure the crowd was there and the cameras were ready and screaming her, I'm sure, pre-thought out speech about what's happening right now and leading people in a chant and just screaming at the top of your lungs as if that is conducive to a conversation or getting your point across. So much of this is just shrouded in emotion, and people think, and honestly, other people accept that the loudest person in the room is the right person in the room. And that if you simply show that you have passion for something, that means that what you're doing is right. And we saw this during the George Floyd riots. The justification was hundreds of thousands of people are taking to the streets and they're angry and they're screaming. That must mean that they care. That must mean there's something real happening here. They must be right. Loud does not make you right. So I wish this was just decibels lower than what we're talking about right now, but she makes a very valid point. And what I think a lot of what gets lost in the abortion debates that we have now, and that we're not going to get into now, you guys know, you've seen my videos, you've heard from Taylor about his opinion on this, we have previous shows that talk about this in depth, but a lot of it is just getting caught up in the scientific argument of what is it, and what is it, and what is it, and what is it, and you think it's this, and I think it's this. None of it talks about the decision making, what the people making these decisions really look like, the inner turmoil, whether or not there is inner turmoil, and I think that has shifted. It used to be that our debates around this subject were debating on common ground that this is not good and this is not a fun decision to make. That's shifting more and more with this younger generation getting involved with the abortion debate or the women's reproductive rights debate, as they call it. I have a video on my Instagram, if you guys want to go and check it out, of young women protesting exactly this, but a conversation that was had months ago about overturning Roe v. Wade and taking abortion pills out in the street in front of all these other protesters while being cheered on. So there is a sentiment now that is sort of building that it means nothing, that there is no turmoil attached to it. We've seen HBO make a movie about it saying, oh, everything's fine and dandy and you just go on and get a burger after. So I think that sentiment is shifting from what Whoopi is saying here. But by and large, people do view this as a horrible decision that they would not want to make. And that should be part of the discussion that we're having. But unfortunately, in our polarized and utterly displaced society when it comes to conversation, we're not having them. And instead, we are screaming at each other as she is screaming her point right now. So I'll be interested to see what happens with all of this. We are going to continue to talk about it and just show you Anna Kasparian and a few other celebrities. But I'm curious to see if this follows the same cycle as everything else in the news, that we scream about it for weeks now and then it dies down, and then we find something else to scream about, and then it dies down, and then we move on to the next thing to scream about, and it dies down. I imagine this is exactly what's going to happen. And again, the outing of this news seems very strategic in its timing, because we were going through a little bit of a lull there. Conservatives on other social issues like critical race theory, LGBTQ issues, the whole Disney thing, freedom of speech with Twitter. We're having a lot of wins, and suddenly this salacious piece of news about overturning Roe v. Wade, which should be a unanimous decision among Supreme Court justices of all walks of life and backgrounds, because it is not up to them. It is not constitutional for them to be making a decision like this, and it is not within their scope of practice, which is exactly why this is happening. And again, it's going to go down to the states, and that's when you'll be able to make your decision, and every other state will do the same. I live in California, and guess what California will probably do? They'll probably go, yeah, you can do it whenever you want at any stage. And guess what I'm going to have to do? And anybody who values our institutions and the systems and the way they function, you can talk to people and try to educate them and get them to represent your view of things, or at least listen to it. But if they make that decision and that's the states being represented and that's your fellow citizens being represented, that is the decision. And how we could not be reasonable in discussing this and discussing that as the reality is beyond me. I'm seeing so many news clips of people saying the Supreme Court isn't allowed to do this. This is not within their rights. This is not within their scope of practice. Yeah, it is. It's exactly why they're doing it. Because not only is it within their scope of practice, but it is their duty to be honest about the things they're making decisions on, how they make them, and whether or not it is okay for them to make a federal decision on these matters. And they've decided, no, it's not. And that's something that we should accept. Now, here is another freakout from Anna Kasparian. Now, I've seen several videos at this point of her being very emotional about this particular issue. They're all circulating on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, these things. Here is one clip.
We don't even have paid family leave. We don't even have affordable childcare in this freaking country. Okay? And the people who fight against those kinds of laws are Republicans.
And yet...
What do you want them to do with their kids when they have to go to work? What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? I want them to answer that freaking question. Answer the question. Journalists, ask them the question.
I've watched this before the show. I already lost what her argument was. I heard childcare, and I forget. Did you hear what else she said?
Yeah, you got me. I don't remember.
I've listened to this twice now in preparation for the show. I already forgot what she said other than childcare. I'm actually going to have to go back because she is screaming and having such a visceral, vein popping out of the neck reaction to this. I cannot even follow the reasoning she's using to do such a thing. Here we go again.
We don't even have affordable childcare in this freaking country.
Okay.
Okay, and the people who fight against those kinds of laws are Republicans.
And yet...
What do you want them to do with their kids when they have to go to work? What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? I want them to answer that freaking question. Answer the question. Journalists, ask them the question. Ask them. Ask them.
Isn't it amazing?
God damn, ask them. The goddamn question.
She almost threw her phone there. I love, like, you know, the argument men and women are exactly the same. Look at him saying completely. Look at Cenk just saying completely sound in this and trying to get a word in edgewise while she's literally screaming to the point that her carotid artery or jugular is going to pop out of her neck.
God.
Isn't it amazing that not one Democrat has shown 1% of the passion that Anna has today?
They don't care. They're all so old, they don't even have to worry about it affecting them. And if they're young enough where it would affect them, they'll get their abortion.
They're going to fly to
Paris.
They're
trading individual stocks, enriching themselves. They're good. They're good. They don't care about you. Make sure you understand that and you feel it in your bones. They don't care about you at all. All of that fundraising, all of that canvassing, all of that hard work on the ground, they can't even get a voting rights bill passed. They're losers.
Trusha Briggs writes in, thank you, Anna.
Whew. You know, all that, all the arguments aside, sometimes in life, things do not go your way. And this is so often the case, specifically in politics. And this reaction that I'm watching right now is as if she's never had something not go her way in her life. Like, she's never seen something that she disagrees with come to fruition before in her life. Oh my gosh. It's like it's the first time she's feeling this emotion of, I didn't get my way. Unbelievable. Take a moment. Even if you feel this way, there are so many issues in this life that I feel the exact same way about internally. But before we go on a show specifically where you're meant to be a role model for discussing these issues, and she has been very measured and had a very good temperament in all the other videos, for the most part, that I've seen her in the debates that she's done, This is not a strong point for you. And unfortunately, a lot of times we are viewed by our weakest moments, and you're allowing that to just be what you do on TV in front of all the people who are watching you. But there was things said in the haze of this, some things that I agree with, that guess what, your politicians up there, regardless of what side of the issue they represent, they don't care either. Wherever this goes, they're winning, guys. It doesn't matter. And she mentioned insider trading and how they're just lining their pockets with all the decisions that they make and all the regulations they push forth. Absolutely. Brilliant point. Would have been a lot more brilliant if you sat there and said, hey guys, they don't care about you. They're lining their pockets and I just wanted to let you know. Instead, you just screamed at me for a minute and a half. And this is exactly a representation of this like lefty scream about everything. And I'm sure there are conservatives who do this too, but and when we see that, we'll talk about it as well, but not to this extent. It's really unbelievable. Affordable childcare, certainly a discussion that we should be having if we are moving towards the realm of not allowing abortions in certain states. I imagine there, if you don't allow it, guess what? There's going to be an influx of children, and those children are going to need childcare. And we would hope that as a nation or as a state, that that childcare would be affordable and that we would do things and work to make that the case and make that the reality. You could have said that in an inside voice. And we could add that discussion in an inside voice.
Yeah, like there's a place for passion in politics, but I see this pattern repeating itself where it's like, here's a issue that we feel passionate about or an injustice in the world, and then you rush to make this legislation and like, we should pass a law to fix this issue. And then the next thing you know, that's how we got like an insolvent social security system and a welfare state and inflation up to wazoo right now because, oh, we just have to urgently help people. And it's like, sometimes your passion needs to be reeled in, and then you have to think through the consequences of the legislation that you're pushing so passionately for. Yep. And see what's going to happen, because a lot of times you end up passing things that create a bigger mess than the original issue at hand, when if you would have just approached it in a more measured fashion. Right. And drawn from history and done the analysis and done the math and see, okay, what is the ways that we can actually reasonably solve this and not create bigger problems for ourselves, or not bankrupt our country or cause skyrocketing inflation or burden our future generations with debt.
Yep.
Or destroy the black nuclear family.
Right.
You know, then let's talk about these policies and think through them and adhere to the first and figure out a way to administer them in a way that doesn't violate first principles or just wisdom temperance in the first place.
Right. If you are passionate, let's talk across the aisle. That's what passion is. And that is one of the things that I've noticed, particularly about people who are on the progressive left and support these sorts of policies. Screaming is mistaken for passion. Screaming is not passion. Screaming is screaming. Screaming is having a mental breakdown. Screaming is throwing a tantrum. That is not passion. And you might be fooled into thinking that it is. And it is a brilliant tool to fool somebody into thinking, oh, well, this means a lot and you must be right because you're screaming it at me in a way that I can't hear or think about anything else. You must be passionate about that. Therefore, you must be right. It doesn't work. The most wonderful thing would have been, I think, for her to get on the show and go, guys, this happened. This is very upsetting to me. Upsetting to me in a way that makes me want to scream. But I am not going to scream. And in fact, I'm going to talk about why I think this is wrong. I want to talk to people who disagree with me about why I think this is wrong. And here's the list of all the things that I think we should do and that we should account for before we make a decision of this magnitude. That would have worked for me. I would have been like, okay, good for Anna Kasparian. I'm so glad that she was measured where other people are not. But unfortunately, that is not what we got. And we should all think about that in our political discourse, because I have moments in my life where I want to be very emotional. And sometimes I am, particularly in personal conversations about some of these issues. And I have to go, oh, okay, why did I have such a crazy reaction to that? Why was my reaction so defensive, so out there, so mental breakdowny? And I have to go, okay,
yeah,
there's a reason. There's a reason that you have these reactions. Take care of them.
And a good principle in life is the more emotional something makes you, the more you should second guess the way that you're thinking about mm-hmm. them. And the more you should double, triple check for blind spots. And the more you should argue with people or wait till you're simmered down and yep. talk with people who might see things differently from you yep. so that you can find your blind spots. Because it's much more difficult to find them when you're so inflamed with passion. That passion has a tendency to make you zero in on the one thing and the one thing that you're outraged about. And you miss all of the other collateral damage that you could be causing by acting rashly.
I had that exact, I won't go into the stories about this personal story, but I had an exact moment that was very similar to this last night in a personal conversation that I was having, where I just immediately jumped and was like, oh, no, I'm defensive about this. No. And you have to, it's hard to recognize those moments. Unfortunately, I'm fortunate that that moment does not play out live when you guys are watching and it's all over social media and people get to see it, which is not something that Anna Kasparian has in this situation. But you have to dial it back at some point. Mm-hmm. And you have to go, why? Why did I do that? Because there's always a reason why you did it. I wish more of the conversations we were having around this were just measured and cool and calm, and we had common ground on the things that we can agree on, and then we discuss the things we disagree on and how to accomplish that. I will raise my hand right now and say I'm somebody who represents the pro-life end of this argument, but I would be more than willing to have a discussion talking about our foster care system, talking about the adoption process, talking about affordable child care, talking about how it's going to affect the lives of people who are not economically stable enough to support their children, talk about how we educate people on the process of pregnancy, on how they get pregnant, on alternative contraception, because abortion is not a contraceptive. More than happy. Raise my hand. Boom. Let's have the discussion about it. And I will admit right now, I don't have the answers. I don't know. There's a lot of issues that I think could spring up or will be exasperated by a decision like this. Still support the decision. So let's talk about the issues that could spring up and discuss them so that we know what to do. It's that simple. But right now, what we do is we go, oh, big thing happened. News is talking about it. News is talking about it. People on the left get up here. People on the right get up here. Let's scream at each other. And on Twitter, who gets the best roast and who's the fastest? And you didn't make that joke about it. I made that joke about it first. And you got 3,000 retweets and I only got 50. That's what we're doing right now. And we're having this new generation of people spring up. And I've noticed this in videos that I'm watching on YouTube of young people talking about these social issues. And it is amazing. And one of these days I would love to do a reaction to this and maybe we'll dedicate an episode to it. But these young people, I'm talking 14, 15, show up to the table. They sit down and they go, well, I represent this camp of belief and here's why. And I'm noticing that I'm seeing this and this on social media and I just happen to take the leftist perspective on that. And the other kid will go, oh, well, that's very interesting. Well, I'm from a conservative family and I was raised very biblically and I believe. You have 13 and 14-year-olds looking at the way that adults are acting in these situations and going, I don't know what that is, but I know it's wrong and I know I want nothing to do with it. So if you see all of our systems, all of our parties, and all of our institutions break down in the coming decades because this new generation comes into power and becomes leaders, it's because you set a poor example of how these systems and institutions are meant to work. It is no wonder that young people are looking up at everything that they're supposed to believe in, they're supposed to be taught to believe in, and go, this is what you want me to fight to uphold? You guys screaming at each other and making no conclusion on these matters and then arguing about whose rights are be taken here and whose rights are be taken there, of course they're going to go, I don't want anything to do with that. And in fact, we're going to have these discussions and maybe we'll form a different society that does different things because we've gotten so stuck in debating and arguing that we can't even discuss why these systems should work and why they're not currently. Because if this is the sign of a healthy society, it's not. And it's so clear to see. It's so clear to see that this is not a healthy society. We are in a sick moment right now. And anybody who can walk and talk and think logically can see that. So what's the alternative? That is my question to you.
Yeah, the alternative is the tyranny of the majority. And the majority, guess what, can be manipulated through emotion. You can whip people up into a frenzy over things and get them to act in crazy ways. I mean, just look at the last couple of years if you need proof of that. But I think it's so important of what you said about our institutions, because when you look at like how the founders set up America and the spirit of a representative democracy, it demands that you distill your ideas and your positions into sensible language and clear points and then propose them and debate over them. Like every word of the Constitution was agonized over. Every word of the Declaration of Independence was debated over.
Yep.
and rigorously, and they, because they had to use their word, you know, like a child when they're throwing a tantrum and mom says, use your words. Mm-hmm. It's like that's what our country was founded on, was this idea that you actually have to articulate your ideas and then you have to propose them to everybody. And then everybody gets to pick them apart and come with the best counters to their arguments and expose your blind spots and then counter that. And then you have to reach compromise. And that's how democracy works. But whenever that process breaks down, then what do you have? You have either a monarch who's a tyrant and who's subject to the whims of emotion, who's subject to the whims of being deceived or making sweeping decisions that affect the entire nation based on really bad ideas, or you have a tyranny of the majority who are persuaded by people who are manipulating them emotionally, and then they end up getting caught up in this frenzy and passing things, French Revolution, chopping people's heads off and get on the guillotine, and you end up ushering in a different kind of tyranny that's just as bad. And you know, the sweet spot is both sides equally represent their ideas, people hash things out, debate, and that's how you want your system to work, and both sides have a stake in the system working. And that's what's so egregious about what happened with the Supreme Court this week. And when you compromise the integrity of your institutions and people can't trust in that there is a way for my voice to be represented, everything falls apart.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And this is another episode that we'll have to talk, have a conversation about in depth, is do you fight fire with fire? Because I'm noticing a lot of people in the comments going, well, Amala, that's not what the extreme left is doing. They're the ones who are blowing the dog whistles. They're the ones fighting, screaming, you know, being violent, all these things. We have to respond. We can't just be these even-tempered people who respond logically and reason. We have to meet them where they're at. And I disagree. I'm not in that camp of thought. And I think there are times where, of course, you have to criticize people and bring that to the table. And you have to have a tactical approach to the way that you respond to things. The state of Florida is a great example of a state accomplishing things in the wake of really big opposition from the extreme left, but doing so in a way that's measured. I'm not seeing screaming matches between people over in that state, but things are getting done. And we could talk about why that's happening. But there are a lot of people who say, no, we need to do exactly what they're doing in order to win this. But if you've sacrificed your moral integrity because other people are and you win, does the win really matter? Is that really a strong win for you? Just because you've seen your values instated because you stoop to the same level as the other side? To me, that's not a win. Even if your values are instated for the rest of your lifetime, that is not a win, because how you got there was immoral. And you recognize that the way that they get there is immoral. So why would you do the same thing? And people will argue it's out of necessity, and we can have a discussion about that and go back and forth about it, because I think there are instances where that argument to me sounds very sound. You know, sometimes you have to meet people who are being extreme and you have to get on their level and argue with them in that way or you lose. But again, we'll discuss it and maybe I'll have my mind changed on that. But to me, it's not a win if you win with the same tactics that they use.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Lord of the Rings reference here. RIP, Wes, well, you're not here right now to appreciate this. But those of you in the audience who are familiar, you can't beat Sauron, the guy who made the Ring of Power, by using the Ring of Power, or else you just become the very thing you're fighting against. And that's the whole idea of Lord of the Rings is a metaphor for power, and the ring is a metaphor for power. And they are on a quest to destroy the Ring of Power that the bad guy made. And anyway, you cannot defeat him by using thinking that I'll wield the power myself and I won't be corrupted. No, it will corrupt you just like anyone else.
Exactly. Exactly. So we went off on a tangent talking about all this stuff, but this highlighted it for me, and it highlighted a problem that we're going to continue to have if we do not quell the emotional unrest that people feel surrounding these things. But we've been taught this is very emotional. You should be so emotional about it. You should scream passionately because that conveys your passion. What really conveys your passion is being like, I'm going to be very diligent in this. I'm going to be not only diligent in representing my beliefs and looking into them and researching them, but I will also be diligent in representing other people's beliefs and looking into them and researching them to find really, is there any hole in what I'm saying? Is there any hole in what they're saying? Can we identify that? And can we communicate it in a way that is so simple to our audiences that they can too understand it and go and have those discussions? That Anna Kasparian video and that Whoopi Goldberg video didn't arm you with anything to go out and have a discussion. It armed you with emotional talking points that you can scream out to people that go nowhere because they're not conducive for conversation. That's what you got out of that. And that's what I'm seeing around all the celebrity just isms and obias that they're throwing out in regard to this. It's just, you're taking away our rights. You don't believe in science. It's not about being pro-abortion. It's about being pro-choice. It's not about life. It's about forcing pregnancy. Okay, we have all the talking points. I've heard the talking points. You've heard them a million times over, I'm sure. Can we discuss what the words in the talking points mean? Because I would love if we came to a congruent definition of what a life is. And I think that would help the way we talk about these issues. And I think that would help the way that we legislate on them as well. So can we please have that discussion first? And by and large, people will say no. Why? And why do the politicians come out and engage in this theater as well? We must remember, ladies and gentlemen, they have no jobs if you have no problems. Okay? So they feed off of this. I bet politicians wake up in the morning, and the elites wake up in the morning, and they go, yes, yet another story in the news cycle to bubble up toil and trouble among all the people living in the United States, and I can roll out my talking points and pretend as if I'm doing any work on it, and in the background I will regulate all these companies while also investing in them and deciding how to line my pocket with your emotional downfall. That's what they do. That's what they do. And if you woke up tomorrow and all of these issues were solved by our states and local and federal governments, as they can be, you wouldn't have much need for them, would you? They have to convince you that you need them. They have to convince you of your victimhood. They have to convince you that it is a necessity, that they sit and laugh back and forth about all these different things and scream at each other and then go out for cocktails afterward. That's what happens in this country. I don't even know that we need to talk about Kim and Ray J, but we'll go over to it real quick. That is the end of my soliloquy, my musings around these
subjects.
This
isn't much of a palate cleanser, but we'll go there. Anyway.
Not much of a palate cleanser at all. I'm going to go off a little bit on this one as well. This is a recent news story. Ray J has broken his silence. I don't know if this was in relation to some sort of NDA, non-disclosure agreement that he had with the Kardashians. But from XXL magazine, Ray J exposes Kim Kardashian, claims his and Kim's sex tape was a partnership with Kris Jenner. Quote, from the beginning of us putting this sex tape out, this has been the biggest lie in the industry, in the history of entertainment. For those of you who are unaware of this, for some reason, why would you not be involved with the celebrity sex tape? I don't know why. This has been a lot of the reason that the Kardashians are even famous, particularly Kim Kardashian. Years ago, a sex tape was released between her and Ray J. For kids watching, we're not going to get into the deep end of all of that or talk about it in any way, shape, or form. But this is what sparked Kim Kardashian's fame in a lot of ways. Built her career, built her empire, built her family's empire, very much on the back of this salacious story. And now Ray J is coming out, I believe, because a contractual obligation has timed out and he's no longer under the thumb of that, and said, in fact, this sex tape that they said I was, you know, doing a certain thing or I released or whatever was actually released by all of them in tandem. So you have a mother, her daughter, and her daughter's man at the time working together to collectively release her body and his body out on the internet to gain fame and wealth. What a disgusting reality we live in. And more disgusting than the decision itself for these three people to work in tandem to commit such an act is the fact that our society in lockstep made it work. So really, it's genius. Really, you're looking at three masterminds who looked at American society and American pop culture and said, this is what you are obsessed with. You are obsessed with women's bodies. You are obsessed with celebrity relationships. You are obsessed with sex. You are obsessed with nudity and OnlyFans and porn and all this stuff. And if we simply give that to you in this strategic event that is shrouded in mystery and whodunit, you will buy it and I will make millions, billions of dollars, because the Kardashians have billions of dollars off of you. And they were right. So for everybody who says the Kardashians are stupid and privileged and all, pretty damn smart, because they exploited you for all the money and all the wealth and all the power that they now have. And yeah, what a wonderful place we're living in that this was successful.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about our world, and it should have been something that hits the airwaves and no one cares. You know, if we are a virtuous people, it would just be something that fizzles into oblivion and, you know, there is no fame. But it just, and it's the same effect at work. On girls know they can go on TikTok and shake their butt or start an OnlyFans or whatever, and then and you can make a living on that. But it just shows the decline of virtue and the need for it in our society.
Yeah, a mother willing to do this to her daughter. Unbelievable. And again, it's a coordinated effort. She was a grown woman. She made the decision herself. So did he. So did her. So unbelievable. And it's going to hit the news again. And I question the motives of Ray J for even coming out with this story, because it seems like you're pretty irrelevant right now. And suddenly you're relevant again because you came out with this. Say your piece in the scheme that you are a part of. So I don't know what you're exposing exactly. You made a contractual agreement to also let this be exposed and go out. But apparently the Kardashians came after Ray J in a recent episode of their show, saying that him and Kanye had this back and forth where he had something salacious on a laptop and blah, blah, blah. And he says the accusations were untrue. So now I'm coming forward with this story that dates all the way back to the start of Kim Kardashian's career. But more so than anything, and all the internal drama, is the fact that this shows we live in a degraded society that is more obsessed with celebrity and sex and nudity than really anything else. And what better ammunition do you need than the whole Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing that's happening in the background right now? And I will say I'm also a part of, and I have covered, but it's being covered and people are talking about it. So we'd hope you get something, a measured view of what's happening right now. We're all a part of the media machine. It's amazing. And even if you are aware of it and cognizant enough to recognize and be awake that you are within the machine, you respond to it and you try to tell other people about it and you make podcasts about the media machine while going along with every story that they want you to talk about. It's very difficult. It's very difficult.
I'm going to quote my wife, who tweeted something really base the other day. She said, I wish people would read fewer tweets and read more books. Right. And I think there's something about the moment that we're in that it's, you know, it's so easy to just be manipulated. Our culture like pulls you like gravity to just not be a very nuanced thinking person and not be a virtuous person. And I just got done listening through, while we were working on this beautiful set, the autobiography of Ben Franklin. And he kept a journal of his virtue and like evaluated himself each day on how much that he followed the virtues that he was trying to follow. And same deal with a lot of the founders, like Washington read all about like manners. And there was this book from the 16th century, like Europe, that a lot of the founders studied, and like how you should behave at a table. And they all studied the Greek philosophers. And like, these were the things that they were doing with their time. In addition to, you know, learning Bible and going to church and stuff, like the Ten Commandments and studying these things, like they cared about virtue. They cared about behavior and ideas and values that transcended themselves and were that held them accountable to something higher and made it was aspirational, instead of just our culture these days. It's just, you know, social media is just designed to tap into your worst angels, not your better angels. And it's not designed to make you an aspirational person who wants to be better and pursue virtue and become smarter. It pulls you down and makes you dumber. Yes. And so the onus is on you, the individual, to fight against that and defy that gravity and swim upstream and study things and read and pursue virtue and pursue big ideas and distill great values that are worth living for and worth embodying in yourself, and say no to all these manipulations and the gravity in our culture that is trying to pull you down.
And it's so difficult. It creates a lot of just inner turmoil. It's a conundrum, really, because if you think about it, I wake up some days and I'm like, all social media is unhealthy. My social media is unhealthy. I should not be doing this. I should not be involved in the system just because I feel forced to, and because I feel like we've created something so evil and horrible that I feel like we need to be on that evil and horrible to shine a light on the evil and horrible. And it's something that you constantly just have to move forward with and roll with every single day. And this highlights it again, just like, they're not stupid. They are so aware of of everything that you want and everything that you want to see and how to get those little triggers and these algorithmic pulls to make you listen to whatever it is they want you to listen to. And with this Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing, as a side note, like people will justify it as much as, this is bringing a light to domestic violence. This is what it's doing. Okay. You could have brought a light to it by covering it and saying, here's what happened. And, you know, Amber Heard just got sued for $50 million. Now she has to pay it. What a horrible thing she did. But no, we have to play the entire trial. We have to talk about whether or not is Elon Musk, the most rich man in the world, going to make an appearance? James Franco, that other actor you know and love, how is he involved? Were there threesomes? Were there this and that? And in a lot of ways, even Johnny and Amber, like, it's acting. They're playing it up. There's so much happening that it's just like, this is a movie. Wouldn't it be great if we just moved away from fiction and we just gave other people's real lives to you on this altar and we just sacrificed their lives and let you watch them in their worst moments for your own entertainment? I can't imagine the amount of money that these networks are making showing what is the probably worst moment in someone's life for both Johnny and Amber. Regardless of the horrible things that she's done to him, what he's done to her, you imagine, you listener right now, I don't know if any of you are in relationships or have been in relationships, sitting in front of the entire world to talk about everything horrible you've ever done in your personal life, things that you did not think were ever recorded, things that you did not think anybody but you and your spouse, the one who you made a vow to, would ever know, and now the whole world knows and gets to know about that. And I don't care if you go and commit domestic violence, that's a horrible, horrible thing. And, you know, you did that and you made that choice. But that is quite an impactful thing to have every worst moment of your life aired out as dirty laundry on TV and people just eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it up. And they're still, they don't even, it's like you don't even see them as human beings anymore. You're just like, this is entertainment. This is so interesting. I saw him in Alice in Wonderland once and I saw her in Aquaman. This is beautiful, amazing. These are real people. All of it's real. And yeah, but it makes them millions. So here we are.
Yeah, the junk food for your brain will always be out there. The things that appeal to your lowest, basest inclinations will always be out there. People know, these companies know how to exploit your attention. People know how to profit off it. It's just how things work. So the question you should be asking yourself is like, why do I want to watch this trial? Or why do I want to, you know, why do I care about these stories? Or why do I, you know, when you get that screen time summary each week from your phone, why did I spend 4 hours on TikTok this week or 8 hours on TikTok or whatever? None of these things are necessarily inherently bad to be aware of these news stories or spend time on technology. It can be very useful. You can learn a lot through technology. But, you know, ask yourself, like, is this good for me? Is this making me a stronger, better, more intelligent, more clearly thinking person? Or is it making me dumb? And is it keeping me, you know, it's we talk about the book Brave New World and how they every day that you take a pill called Soma, then it just numbs you to everything, and it's this false sense of pleasure. And social media can be that for you, that you just this and just being all you care about is all these very shallow things about this YouTuber's life or these celebrities' lives and all these things. It's like, you know, again, none of those things are like going to kill you in of themselves, but you can't live off junk food. And what is the wholesome stuff, like Unapologetic, like PragerU content?
Yeah.
But like books and things that make you smarter, that you're consuming and putting into yourself, because you know, you are what you eat, and that's true on a soul level and on an intellectual level as well. And if all you put in is garbage, then that's you're going to be a slob in your soul and in your mind.
It's very, very true. I want to read one comment here, which I will springboard off of. You might be like, why are you reading this comment? But I will springboard off of. The moment they started talking about fecal matter on one's bed, which is something that happened during this case with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, that was it. And to see Depp say he laughed at that, I have to save my sanity and stop watching. And that's another part of this, is that the threshold is just like higher and higher and higher and higher. It has to be a more salacious story every single time, or you get bored. You're done with it. I don't want to hear anymore. It's not crazy enough for me. I watched the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard case, and that was crazy. You got to bring me something worse than that in order to get my view. So think about, if we continue on this path of just being completely beholden to everything the media does and what they curate for you, how crazy the things that we are going to be consuming as entertainment are going to be. Think about how crazy it has to get, because this is crazy. This is insane. Talking about a scandalous decision and conspiracy to release a sex tape in order to get fame, and two movie stars being married to each other and committing acts of violence against each other. How much crazier does it have to get for us to be entertained?
how much more poop needs to get on beds right. before we wake up.
Right. At one, at some point, it's not going to be enough. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord.
And that's all I have to say for today. I think that's where we're going to wrap up. We got into some interesting conversations. I wasn't expecting to go into all these different tangents and philosophize about these things.
I didn't think I'd have many brain cells left after listening to Whoopi Goldberg and hearing about Kim Kardashian with this show, but hopefully we brought it back around. And...
yeah. Let me know how you feel about these more long-form discussions where we talk about a topic like, is it okay to stoop to the level of the person that you oppose? Or what happens when the media machine has a grasp on your brain and everything that you watch and what you see? Is any amount of social media healthy? Should we have these long-form discussions on this podcast? Let me know in the comments after we end the stream. We'll see which ones get those little upvote thumbs up. By the way, leave our stream a thumbs up if you're watching right now and you enjoy what you are seeing. Also, subscribe. Turn on the notification bell because we are live every single weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, Getter, Twitter now. We are everywhere. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review because the leftists have come and they've seen and they've destroyed our review section on that podcast. So please let us know how you feel about the show. Hopefully it's positive. Even if it's negative, let me know how you feel. Is there something you wish we talked about? Is there an opposing point that you would wish to express to me that we can discuss at a later date? Let me know down below. Keep your mind open. And honestly, keep your eyes closed with everything that's happening right now. I don't want to see any of this stuff anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.